أحمدك اللهم، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger, and we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the Prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the end of time. My dear fellow Muslims, we have the news today that the Catholic Pope is approaching the end of his life. The only truth in life is death. And the man soon will have to meet his Creator. One of the Islamic ethics recommended by Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is to remember the good things about those who pass away. And as a Muslim, I can remember quite a few of them. I remember in his early days as Pope, there was an attempt on his life by a Turkish young man. And the Pope declared his forgiveness of the young man and even went and visited him in prison. I do also remember that as the 20th century came to a close, and we started a new century and a new millennium, the Pope said, the Christians have things to atone for in the passing millennium. And he mentioned three things. This included the Inquisition run by the Church against the Muslims in Spain. They included the Crusades launched by Christian Europe against the Muslims. And the third one was the Holocaust. I think he was one of the most active popes the Church ever saw. And one of the things was that he started a Christian Islamic dialogue with Al-Azhar of Egypt, the over 1,000-year-old Islamic university. And he tried to foster friendly relations with the Muslims. And now that it is the end, he will be in audience with his Creator, and we pray for his easy departure from this world and entrust him to the hands of the one God, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the compassionate and the merciful. In this khutbah, it was my intention to discuss a few gender issues that I feel have to be even mentioned in brief, having been asked by some Muslims, old and young, and children, about such things as, is love all right to sleep with a woman? Is homosexuality wrong? And we know that in some government schools, they teach that there are five kinds of marriage: a marriage between a man and a woman, or a man living with a woman, or two men together, or two women together, or a single parent family. And this is being taught at the schools without any notion that any is better than the others or any is worse than the others, raising the flag of value-free education and separation of church and state. While America is a country of freedom, and the people therefore are free to choose, but having noticed that some Muslims are inquiring about the stand of Islam on these issues, I thought it might be helpful to reiterate the solid views of Islam. We cannot impose them on others, but it behooves every Muslim to be very clear about the Islamic stand on these issues. Islam recognizes only one relation between a man and a woman, only one condition when sex is permitted, and that is, if you marry the woman, or in the days of slavery, which are bygone days, and slavery was known in all the God-sent religions, Judaism and Christianity and Islam, but since this was abolished by social evolution, then Islam recognizes only one legitimate relation between a man and a woman, which is the relation of legitimate marriage. And anything outside this is not acceptable to Islam. I am sure you know this, but please, when you go home, tell your small children, because it is not as clear to them as it is clear to you. And you bear their responsibilities before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is your duty not only to give them food and clothing and money and a car and schooling, it is your duty to tell them what Islam is. When they grow up, they might choose otherwise, but you would have fulfilled your duty as a Muslim. Therefore, it should be clear to you and to your children through you, not through the school, because the school might teach differently. But it is only you who bear the responsibility of telling your children the stand of Islam on the one, the man-woman relation, which is legitimate, authentic, registered marriage. Even some Muslims used to come a few years ago having a woman with him, saying we want an Islamic marriage, and they think this oral marriage or the center marriage is enough, and he might already have another wife. Oh no, but this is the Islamic marriage. No, no, no. This is not the Islamic marriage. Because the Islamic marriage requires registration. Even nowadays, in all Muslim countries, you have a special civil servant and a special government office in order to register the marriages. No more acceptable in Islam that you take a woman and bring it to men, oh, you are my wife, and then go home and leave it at that. And in our experience, time later, he dismisses her from home, and she does have no proof except that paper from an Islamic center, which is not recognized by the law under which we live. And you should be very clear about that and make it very clear. Unfortunately, we live in modern society, which is a society that promulgated the phrase separation of church and state in order to use it to isolate God from human life. These are not the same. In Christianity, there is no state. Jesus didn't come to establish a state, but he came to establish the good morals and to address the human conscience. And therefore they have to invent a law. Because if I smite a Christian on his face and tell him, Jesus says, whoever smites you on the right cheek, don't turn your left cheek for him to smite. If he forgives me, he's noble. But if he takes me to court, that will not be the verdict. The verdict is punishment. Law is a human necessity, because people cannot live on morality alone. There have to be a law to protect this morality. And therefore, all Christian countries have promulgated a law. In Islam, a similar law was given us, promulgated by God. And so wide, and so accommodated, and so amenable to progress and to derive our details and our laws and other things for the judge to rule by, along the passage of time, and therefore the Islamic Sharia would be suitable for every day and every age until humanity is ended. And this is the stand of Islam. People ask about homosexuality. Well, according to Islam, it is haram. They make a row, you are free. But as a Muslim, the Quran tells me this is not permissible. It is haram. And you very easily point it out in the Quran. Unfortunately, it is also prohibited in the Bible. But they are free to do what they like. Muslims, hopefully, should remain bound by the Quran. And I hope they do until the day of resurrection. And this is in the Quran. Another trick they use is promulgating names, false names, in order to make bad things look good. Take a word like love. God is love. The most noble human thing is love. And yet they took the word, and when you say, we make love, they mean we make adultery. But adultery is an ugly word. So let us replace it with the word love. Take a word like the word gay. When I was in primary school, we used to be taught a song, early to bed and early to rise, this is the way to be happy and gay. Dare I call myself gay now? It has taken another meaning. And this is one of their tricks that you should be very aware of and very conscious about. And don't leave your children to be taught by the school, because many schools teach the non-Islamic thing. But you have to mop up. I note that Muslims in America are infected with that illness, separation of generations. I rarely go to visit a family and we sit with the parents and the children come to sit. As a child, I used to sit with the adults and pay attention to what they say and learn. Now there is a generation gap. I want you to invent another slogan to neutralize the slogan of generation gap, and to call it the generation link. I want you to invent a slogan to replace be what you are, and spread the slogan be what you should be. And this is your duty as Muslims. This is your responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I feel a clear conscience having put it on your shoulders, and I pray for your success, and I pray for God's guidance to all humanity, Muslim and non-Muslim. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم صلوا ربكم يستجب لكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله خبر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. My dear brethren, it seems there is an ongoing world war, this time between God and the enemies of God. It is not between religions, because a real Muslim will never be the enemy of a real Christian, and will never be the enemy of a real Jew. But the key here is real, the real. Unfortunately, there are so many unreal Muslims, unreal Christians, unreal Jews, irrespective of what they call themselves, irrespective of being a major in the hierarchy of the church or the synagogue or a sheikh in the mosque. It is between God and God's enemies. Those with God have love in their heart, because love and hatred cannot combine, and God is love. The others preach hatred and practice it. God will conquer, no doubt about that. Would you like to be in his army? Would you like to be his soldiers? Would you like to be rays of his light? Would you like to be instruments of his mercy? If you do, this is one of the dictates of Islam upon you. If you don't, the choice is yours. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك واجمعنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك والحب فيك. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قوموا للصلاة.